Well, I don't know if you can stand one more Christmas story. Comes out of the mouths of babes. We have a grandson who turned 4 just ahead of Thanksgiving. And we were told, he lives in Illinois, so it takes a while for these stories to filter down here. We were told that on Christmas Eve, the family went to church. Then the 4-year-old has 2 older siblings, 5 and 8. So that's a bit of a circus, taking a group like that to Christmas Eve church. And they walked in and sat, and he'd looked around, and in one of those moments where there's a lull, like every kid seems to find when they got something to say, said, for everyone to hear, "Where's Jesus?" I guess somebody had told him that it was Jesus' birthday, and I imagine he was looking for the kid with the hat and the one who would share the cake. Where's Jesus? It's not a new question. For in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Well, of course, that story starts with Aidan's question, where's Jesus? What happened to him? And it's a question that I suspect crosses our minds from time to time. When things are uncertain, when things are troubling, when the future looks murky, when the past is giving us trouble, where's Jesus? Well, the 12-year-old Jesus actually gives us the answer. He said, "Why would you wonder? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" Now, this notion of God's house is a little more complex than simply the temple. Theologically, the Hebrew notion of the dwelling place of God is wherever God rules. Part of what was so dramatic about Moses bringing the tablets down from Mount Sinai is Mount Sinai was regarded as the dwelling place of the Lord. It was the highest place around. God's house is where God rules. And that's where Jesus is. So then the question is, what sort of vivid and useful examples might we find that answers the question for us, where does God rule in our lives, and how does that help? Well, I think God rules everywhere, of course, but for our purposes today and for these few minutes, I want to talk about how you find Jesus where God rules, in our church, in our homes, and in our hearts. And of course, everywhere else, but let's take a look at just those three for our purposes this morning. God rules, and Jesus is with us in our church. We have lots of reminders of that. We're 2 or more are gathered, and we have almost 20 of us here today. That's a pretty good crowd. Here he is in the midst of us. Doing what? And for what purpose? Supreme Court made a landmark decision this week on religious freedom. A unanimous decision, which was stunning given the makeup of the current U.S. Supreme Court. They voted 9-0 that people who work for religious organizations cannot sue them for job discrimination. Why is that a good thing? Well, it's a good thing in the sense that it gives churches both the freedom, and I would argue the responsibility, to hire and maintain leadership in whatever ways they see fit theologically. What it means essentially is that a woman can't sue the Catholic Church for not being able to be a priest. and other such things. That would be different if that woman worked for Texas Tech University, and so on. Leadership questions, who can, who should, who might, who do we need to keep away, have plagued the church for generations. Scriptural witness was used to prevent leadership of ethnic minorities over the years. That we have progressed beyond. Some denominations, not all, both permit and welcome the leadership of women in the office of clergy, in the office of deacon, elder, and so on. The issue of gay rights continues to be one of contention, and there have been numerous meetings of church boards, denominations, national assemblies of presbyteries, synods of Lutherans, and so on, coming to various conclusions about that, and it is still a work in progress. It's only been within the last 2 years that the Presbyterian Church and the ELCA, the more liberal of the Lutheran churches, not Missouri Synod, have come to the conclusion that it's just not right to prohibit people who are in same-sex relationships from being leaders. Now, that remains a contentious issue. And the interesting part about the Supreme Court's decision is that the churches will have to figure this out without our help. They will have to do what they believe is the right thing based on their sense of what the right thing is. And where does that come from? Well, it comes in part from understanding that when these issues and all others, you've got a board meeting this week, when all others are being debated, Jesus is in the empty chair. Where is Jesus? He is in the midst of these sometimes difficult and contentious deliberations, and he's with us with these words. Let's work this out. Let's find a way through this. People of goodwill can negotiate and compromise. I would say, first of all, one answer to the question, where's Jesus? He's in our churches. He's in the empty chair in each meeting, in each worship gathering, with these words. Let's work this out. And let's use as the criteria by which we work these out at least some nod toward what we learned in the New Testament. To whom was Jesus most generous and benevolent? The least, the lost, and the last. To whom did he direct his harshest criticism? The church's ruling elite. With that in mind, let's work this out. Secondly, an answer to the question, where's Jesus? He's in our homes. At least we hope he is. In the places where we live with the people who love us the most. Now, home is also the place you go to be your nastiest, isn't it? Some of our most difficult moments with people who love us very much have happened in our homes. Now, I'm loath to say this, but I suspect if you examine yourself closely, you would agree. There are two or three or maybe a few more things about me, quirks in my personality, that from time to time others find annoying, even those who love me very much. Those tend to come out under pressure. And I will simply tell you that under pressure, I sometimes lapse into a mode where I appear to be sort of one of these chronic people pleasers. Yes, whatever you want, no problem, anything. Which turns out to be, in its extreme, cloying, patronizing, and just dreadfully unhelpful. Now, let me point this out as well. I was thinking about this week. That same emotional twitch or skill set, chronic people pleasing, even annoying, patronizing, arrogance, if you turn it around, is a set of skills that will lead you to accomplish much. What does it take to get a college degree? People pleasing. Putting up with stuff you don't want to do, but you do it because somebody told you to. Okay. Again, it's the same personality quirk, but you turn it around and it becomes useful. Now think about the things that people who love you very much find annoying. There's typically another side to that same set of emotions or skills. Where's Jesus? Jesus is in our homes. And much as he says in our churches, let's work this out, he says in our homes, let's turn this around. Let's turn this around. So the next time you're having one of those days with someone who loves you very much, and you know that, and yet it's still, you know, a little iciness here, a little annoyance there. Take a breath and at least say to yourself, let's turn this around. And it might mean an overture toward, I'm sorry. I still care. You still like me? Well, that's cloying. Never mind. Get the idea? Where's Jesus? He's in our homes. Let's turn this around. Let's turn this around. Thirdly, he's in our own hearts. Now imagine yourself in the company of just yourself. And sometimes that's really fun. And sometimes, you know, you can rattle around inside your own head and drive yourself nuts with things you perseverate about, things that frighten you, things that you know about yourself that you hope nobody ever finds out. Where's Jesus? Jesus is in your heart, fully aware of everything that even frightens you about you. Well, what does he say in your heart? I'll give you an example. State of Wisconsin, in its wisdom, about 6 weeks after I turned 18 years old, declared that 18-year-olds were adults in every sense. Anything that anyone could do as an adult, an 18-year-old could do in the state of Wisconsin at that time. Well, that was shortly before Easter. And on Easter Sunday, when I'm 18 years old, now that's a time in our lives where, as Ron White would say, you can't fix stupid. You can only just sort of outgrow it. I don't know what you were like at 18, but there were times. I remember on Easter Sunday, the night of Easter Sunday, the morning of which I had read scripture in church, I, as an adult, had found myself in a place where I had no business being. There's an interesting insight from a Presbyterian theologian that says, if you want to know who you are as opposed to who you think you are, keep an eye on where your feet carry you. Well, my feet took me to a place that I had no business being, and then it sort of hit me in the middle of that. And I almost heard, in a way that I think Jesus in our hearts would say, let's get out of here. You simply don't belong in this mess. And there have been times since, and it's been a long time since I was 18, where that memory of me being with me in a place I had no business being has gotten me out of other places I had no business being. And Jesus is doing that in our hearts to remind us who we belong to. And because you belong to God, because you are of such great value, from time to time, you need to hear the voice of Jesus who is in your heart say, you know what, let's get out of here. He's in our churches saying, let's work this out. He's in our homes saying, let's turn this around. And sometimes he's in our hearts saying, not only let's get out of here, but let's go there. Let's go back here. Epiphany is the season we are in right now. And Epiphany is defined by light. An epiphany is an enlightenment. So the answer to the question, where's Jesus, is more or less, he's where the light is. He's turning the light on. Let's work it out. Let's turn it around. Let's get out of here. Amen.